The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 1984.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have most of our regulars with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Proud to be here.
Oh, we're proud to have you here.
As always.
Okay. On his right, from the, and directly across from me, in fact, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's really nice to be here.
It's nice to be here, too, and have you here. And on Mary...
You don't have to respond to all of them.
I don't.
And some of them are rhetorical statements.
Ed enjoys, you know, conversing with people.
It's actually, small, I'm enjoying something else, which I can't even describe on the air. And on Mary Jo's, I know. And on Mary Jo's right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Hello, Edwin.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Happy to be here, Ed.
Oh, good to have you. All right. Most of the questions you hear on this program are sent in by our listeners.
Did you hear about John Klemanski's new book?
No.
Yeah. It's what? How to Live with Schizophrenia by John and John Klemanski.
John and Joanna.
Yes.
Whoa,
no,
I wasn't going
there's
to
there's implications that. There.
Yes. I don't, man, just a minute here.
Anyhow, most of the questions you do hear on this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you will receive an autographed photograph of the panel.
For sure.
Great.
For sure.
Yes. If you fail to stump the panel...
We're not just talking this year.
No, sir.
Now, if you fail to stump the panel, you will receive a photographed autograph of the panel and
a sticker bumper
stinker. Stop that. And in fact, if you send in anything, and we even tear it up and throw it in the wastebasket laughing hysterically, you will get, the producer is waving his arms and saying, no, you won't.
You will get an incurable disease.
Yes. He doesn't know how many bumper stickers have been ordered.
Transmitted through the ether.
Well, we'll have to talk about that. In any event, if you end up with your name being read on the air in some way or another, either being humiliated or emerging triumphantly, you'll get a bumper sticker.
Yay.
Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Right. Well, we do.
Okay. Producer's shaking his head.
Okay.
Yes. He's got to have some power.
Yes. All right. Okay.
He could cut us off the...
Our first set of questions comes from Joseph Mossman, and there aren't questions, in fact. They're just, it's a letter. Joseph Mossman of Des Moines, Iowa, who says, this morning I heard Ask the Professor through radio station KSO Des Moines. Mm-hmm. Being an ordinary human, or an approximation thereof, I couldn't, of course, simply write a nice letter of appreciation and gratitude.
Sure.
No, I had to wait until I could pounce upon what I think is an error, or apparent error.
Oops.
You credited, I must get out of these wet clothes and into a dry martini, to Alexander Wolcott. All my life, I believed it was Robert Benchley's. But only the other day, I ran across this quote from Tom Burnham's More Misinformation, a book about miscredited quotations, faulty beliefs, and all that.
Uh-huh.
He writes, I must get out of these clothes and into a dry martini, attributed to Alexander Wolcott. But if Wolcott said it, he got it from Benchley, who heard it from a press agent. Benchley liked the line, said he wished he'd said it, and so he did, in one of his films. On that basis, the honor goes to an unknown press agent. Okay. Thank you for your splendid
program. That
would be
a good set of questions, though.
UPA.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It would.
Why don't you send in some of those?
Yeah.
Think
Why
about
don't
it.
You?
And
yeah.
We'll get the book.
Yeah.
Thank you for the reference.
Yes. Okay, well, thank Mr. Mossman. We're glad he's alert out there.
We're not beneath research, you know.
Keeping us on our toes.
As a last resort.
Yes.
When all else fails, look it up.
Okay, our first set of questions
comes from...
If you
can't make it up, look it up. That's our motto.
Gaze toward the producer.
Our first set of questions comes from Paul Jones. And
John Paul Jones.
From Dearborn Heights, Michigan. He says, I have listened to your excellent show for years. I have never sent in a set of questions. I've decided to now. I'm getting tired of all the questions about antiquated movies and popular songs.
Yes,
we are. Right off.
I don't blame you. So here are some questions on the
Civil War.
I knew it! It had to be! Exactly.
Frankly,
we're tired of those,
we're
too,
more tired,
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Here are the answers. 11.03 p.m.
Let me tell you, Mr. Jones,
Abner
you're coming
Doubleday?
From way behind. Appomattox.
Okay, I'm not going to go through all of these.
Good.
Of course not.
No.
J.E.B. Right. Stewart.
Let's just take some at random here.
Beauregard.
In May of 1864, General Sherman began his famous march to bring the Confederacy to its knees. What was this march called?
March to the sea.
That's right.
And it went right through Atlanta, which is nowhere near the sea.
Yes.
But you have, that's right.
Little detours.
Following a scorched earth policy.
That's true.
Well, we know that.
They stopped for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What battle is considered the one that broke General Lee's back? Hint, Lincoln delivered a famous address.
Yeah, well, it is.
It's aftermath.
Yeah, it's Gettysburg.
That's right. That's right. What is considered the bloodiest battle of the Civil War? Or the bloodiest single day of the Civil War. I'll accept the battle.
Was that during Gettysburg?
Mm-mm.
It was not, because that was extremely bloody.
Yeah.
Was it part of Sherman's march?
No.
Was it the first battle?
No.
Bunker Hill?
That was Bull Run.
Not Bull Antioch, Run. But
Antietam.
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 Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's funny, I would have thought it would have been one of the Bull Runs, because that was the one where everybody came out of Washington in wagons to watch the battle. And
with picnic baskets.
Picnics, mm-hmm. And they got caught in the rout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with picnic baskets just, to watch watch the boys fight.
Yes.
It's hard to imagine.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, our final question. I mean, this is, I'm just trying to.
Well, these are short and sweet.
I want Sarah to say something.
Okay.
Hi.
Well, that's
already
something.
Done that.
You've already done that, Sarah.
John spoke for you.
Yes, you did a marvelous.
Did you get my snotty accent right?
Yes.
Down.
Well, it wasn't. It was close, but not. No,
John,
cigar.
You're getting good at this impersonation.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
People will think
looks
Sarah's
wonderful,
here.
He doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I like your earrings.
Yes. One step at a time.
Okay. Now, in what battle?
They go on your ears.
Oh.
Not fair, John.
Can't get all the details.
In what battle was Stonewall Jackson mortally wounded?
New Orleans.
Mm-mm.
Really?
That's not what I have.
He said, go put me by the trees over there.
Oh,
man.
Mortally wounded.
Yeah.
Mortally wounded. You mean he died?
Yes. Yes, he was shot three times.
It was in...
Think of an NBC News correspondent.
Chancellorsville.
Sander Van
yes.
Oker?
Chancellorsville. Very good. Very well, we thank Mr. Jones. We'll make him a winner. I mean, even though we didn't even bother with half.
But no more Civil War questions, please, for a while.
Mud Run.
Bury my hat at Brokaw Knee.
Roger Mudrun.
But he will get the autograph, photograph, and the bumper sticker.
Oh.
And send in some more, as long as they're not Civil War questions.
Generous.
That will be just fine and dandy. Now, our next set of questions comes from David Lambert of Holly, Michigan.
Indeed.
Who says, 'Tis I, David Lambert, here again to match wits with the professors. In my ongoing efforts to stump your panel, I stop on the ninth letter of the alphabet, I.
Here we go.
Islamabad.
All of the answers to the questions I pose will begin with the letter I.
That's got to be one of them.
Incas.
You must get 10 out of 12 correct.
Itches.
Idiots. Morons.
Imbeciles.
Izod shirts.
What? Izod shirts.
Are we ready?
Yes. Ichabod
Crumb.
What film was based on the Scopes Monkey Trial?
Inherit the Wind.
Yes.
Wind, which has an I in it.
Oh, very good. To what school do Monet, Renoir,
Impressionists.
And very good, very good.
Sure, but did they get degrees?
That's right.
All them finger paints.
What?
Looks like a Montessori school. Creativity and all.
Yeah, well, you know. What was the nickname of actress Thelma Todd?
The It Girl.
No, that's Clara Bow.
Oh.
The Itch Girl.
The Isn't Girl.
Thelma what?
Thelma Todd.
Ooh.
It had to do with the color of her hair, and it was
indigo.
No.
That's me.
Mood. Shall we sing it? Yeah. The color of her hair.
Uh-huh.
What other color begins with I?
No.
Ivory?
No.
Ick.
Iridescent.
Her hair color did not begin with I. It was
Well, then why did
blank,
you mention it?
Blank. I mean, she is...
Inky black.
She's a blonde.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so it was an... Word begins with I.
Ice blonde.
Very...
Icy blonde.
Hold that for a moment.
Hold Iceberg. That thought.
Ice.
Frigid.
Ice bland.
And something that is...
Ice and fire.
White.
Ice snow.
Icicle.
Not snow. Ice something you buy fog. In stores.
Dandruff.
Eat.
Cream.
Yes.
Ice cream girl.
The ice cream.
Woman.
I've already given
blonde.
It. Yes, the blonde. Ice cream blonde. Yes.
This wasn't worth it, frankly.
No.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. No.
What color is that?
Chocolate.
Fudge ripple.
It's a chocolate blonde.
I guess. All right. Whose theme song is If I Didn't Care?
Johnny Mathis.
The Ink Spots.
Oh, the Ink Spots. Thank you. Okay. What's the name of the horse Caligula raised to the consulship?
I thought he made him a cardinal.
E. Diablo.
Icarus.
E. Solisti.
Pegasus. Oh.
Yeah, E. Solisti di Roma.
Ike.
No, I'll have to
Mr.
Go.
Id.
No. It's not. It's not one of that's good.
That's true, too.
Yes, it probably is. It's Incitatus.
Oh, of course.
Not one of those names.
That missed that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like...
What was Apollo 12's lunar module called?
Whoa.
It's also a British spy called this.
Intrepid.
Yes. Very good.
Hmm. Or intrepidity.
Hmm. What's the name of the award at the Academy Awards to a person noted for consistent high quality?
Miss Congeniality.
With the film industry, it's kind of like your contribution to all of filmdom over the last 50 years. You get this award.
An Isaiah.
No.
I mean, is it that sort of thing, like it's another word, like there's an Oscar if you...
Yes, it's named after a young director at MGM and producer who was married to Norma Shearer and died in his mid-40s. You know, he was the boy wonder of Hollywood in the 30s, and Norma Shearer was his wife.
And it starts with I.
His first name does.
Irving.
Irving, yes. Irving. I'll accept that.
The Irving...
It's Thalberg. It's Thalberg.
Thalberg.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's Thalberg. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, he didn't do anything. He just made three crummy films with Norma Shearer and then croaked. That's what he did. Roger is looking at me curiously.
He's offended by that.
Well, you've seen Romeo and Juliet, haven't you? Yes. Now you understand.
That was Franco Zeffirelli.
No, this is
that
another one.
That was a
one.
Good film.
This is another one.
Oh, 50 years this before.
This is Leslie Howard.
Come on, let's get to Islamabad.
We're not going to get to Islamabad.
It's not on there?
No.
It's the only capital of
What's
a state.
What's the famous line
beginning
set
with an I?
By Jack Dempsey after Gene Tunney beat him in the World Heavyweight Championship?
I could have been a contender.
No.
I hurt.
I hurt, yeah.
No, not I hurt.
Is it I something?
I something.
I quit.
I shall return.
No. I lost.
I was robbed.
No, I'll have to give it to you.
Yes.
I guess I forgot to duck.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What book by Thomas A. Kempis was Pope John Paul I reading when he died?
Imitation of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Bestseller in the Middle Ages?
Yes.
Imitatio Christi, I believe we call it.
That's sure.
Mm. That's really amazing.
This is a university program. Let me just remind right. the panelists.
Yes. Yes.
What language was that?
Portuguese.
Dutch.
Swedish.
What was the first country? What was the first country to use an adhesive postage stamp? No. What was the first country to use? No, it wasn't Switzerland.
Of course not. Inja. It doesn't begin with I.
That's right. What am I thinking?
It may in some language, though. It's
Inja.
Could. No,
Islamabad.
Inja.
Iceland.
No.
What's the question?
Iceland.
The first country to use an adhesive postage stamp.
Well, it has to start with I.
That's right.
And it's not India.
That's right.
It's not Iceland.
That's right.
So.
Well, how did stamps adhere?
Indonesia.
Well, think of posting a cuneiform letter.
Oh. Iran or Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq.
One of those. Iraq. Yes.
That's
it would have to be Iraq. Yeah. Yes.
That's where the Sumer.
The rivers.
You want to send your mud tablet.
That. Yes.
When was that?
Well, I don't know because I was convinced that the first adhesive postage stamp was invented by the British in the 19th century.
So that'd be England.
Yes.
And I.
Mm-hmm. While we ponder this, let's take a little break.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October of 1985. We're pleased to bring you these special classic shows throughout the summer months, and thank you for listening. Now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor show from October 1985.
We're back, yes, with our questions from David Lambert. We have two more to go. What were Thomas Edison's last words?
I quit.
No.
It must be I.
I got
it.
Me.
Oh.
Not I. It begins with I.
It's.
It.
It's.
It's. Over.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just
it's
beginning.
It's close. It's a description of some place that he is going to.
It comes.
It arrives.
Not it glows.
It's hot.
It's hot, yeah.
No, he wasn't going to a reactor. it beckons.
Well, no.
It calls.
Oh,
it cometh.
No.
It vanished.
Itsy bitsy?
No, he is describing it. He's saying it is.
Oh, wonderful.
That's close.
Awesome.
Let's say
beautiful.
Beautiful. I'll accept that. It is very beautiful over there.
It's not two words.
No, I thought we were looking.
Today it was two words.
Well,
George,
see, we misunderstood. I thought we were looking for one word.
Boy, we violated the rules.
This is
there.
A whole
yeah.
sentence.
Okay.
And wow. Finally, another whole sentence.
Your error.
appeal.
That's a good thing
this
we got
especially
that.
Especially for George.
Okay.
No.
What was Judy Garland's closing song on her TV series?
Insipid.
I don't know. That starts with I.
No. Think of General MacArthur. It's a variation.
I came, I saw
I
you.
Will return.
You. I won't
That's
return.
Close. And I came, I saw
I'll be okay. seeing you in apple blossom time.
No.
Isn't that
I
what MacArthur
return.
Said when he left the Philippines?
I shall.
That's what he said.
I'll return.
I will return.
That's I'll return in. That. I'll be back.
I'll accept that. I will come back.
I'll come back.
And she kept doing it.
She certainly did.
For a while.
Yeah. Well, you got.
All of them right.
The mm-hmm. 10 out of 12.
Just oh, about. Okay.
Give him a sticker bumper and a photographed autograph.
Yes.
He'll have a lot of bumper stickers as he accumulates these.
Mm-hmm. He certainly
he can buy cars.
He can do that. He can buy cars and put them on.
Mm-hmm. That'll keep the economy going.
That's right. We thank Mr. Lambert and send in Jay. We're waiting for Jay now. Those are fun.
The junk.
I look
question.
Forward to Mr. Lambert's questions.
What happens when we get through the alphabet?
He'll start over.
He'll start with double letters. Aardvark.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Double letters.
Yeah.
Aaron.
That's
yeah.
Right. Next set of questions.
Baboon.
Cocoon.
Bing Crosby sorts of things.
Yes.
Right.
Our next set of questions comes from Jim Ford of Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
All right.
Oh,
hey,
Tar Heel.
You all come back here?
Down there?
I don't know. What's,
or was he traveling?
I don't know. He doesn't say. This just starts right in.
All right.
Starts right in.
Good.
No
what complimentary
is,
phrases?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Okay,
like,
business-like.
Hi, guys, or anything.
Maybe he's never heard the show.
That could be it.
He doesn't know the drill. He's supposed to say something nice.
Yes. What is the oldest of the nation's seagoing armed services?
Coast Guard.
Yes. Very good.
Oh.
Yes,
which
these,
is just what John was about to say.
Coast and Geodetic Survey.
These all deal with the various aspects of Americana, by the way.
Oh, Americana.
Okay.
That's a big hint.
Who was the first Secretary of the Treasury?
Hamilton.
Yes, very good. In what year
George.
Did the Quasi War begin?
You see his picture on a lot
yeah.
of bills.
Yeah, and he's always doing those diamond mortgage ads. In what year did the Quasi War begin?
What quasar?
That's what it's called. Q-U-A-S-I.
The quasar were an Indian tribe that we were vowed to exterminate.
That must
be the quasars.
18.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. 17.
Yes.
60.
And right near the end of the century.
90.
Yes.
3. 8.
8 is right.
Bob hit it right on
he
the old button.
Did. Yeah. I'll tell you.
That quasi guy.
Yep. What is the westernmost island of the Aleutians?
Russia.
Of the
era,
not yet.
Atuk.
Atu, that's right. From what state does the continental...
Who are you going to sneeze at?
From what state does the Continental Divide enter Mexico?
New
legally
Mexico.
Or illegally?
Yes, New Mexico. That's the next question.
And will the Simpson-Mazzoli bill still allow it?
Right.
Finally, who is the governor of West Virginia?
Jay.
Rockefeller.
Rockefeller.
That's right.
P.
See,
very
they only good. Know his last name.
Yeah.
J-A-Y.
Jay.
Is he Republican or Democrat?
We thank
yes.
Mr. Ford.
He's a Democrat, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact.
Mm-hmm. From Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Yeah, those are very good.
Again,
they were short
next
and
time
sweet.
With some nice little comments about
yeah,
how much he appreciates
things.
This show and worships all of us from afar. But until that time.
That page you know, must have got lost.
I think
under
this is page 2.
You know how the mails are.
Not a complete letter.
Producers tear off the cover letters.
I guess they do. Okay, next set of questions comes from Russell Berman of Beverly Hills, California.
Right.
Who says, I listen to your program from 12 midnight to 12:30 a.m. on a Sunday night.
Oof.
No less. School's the next morning. However, as it is the summer, this was in August.
How was sixth grade coming along?
I loyally settled down next to my time. Radio each Sunday night or Monday morning and became inspired to write in.
Okay.
Become inspired. I don't know. Following
try to read.
Our,
inspiration struck.
Following our 20 questions, 17 of which you need to answer to pass.
A lot he knows.
They are on a variety of subjects. Okay.
Okay.
Which U.S. president never married?
Buchanan.
Yes, yes.
Elliot.
Soon
Buchanan.
To be the subject of a major study by John Boswell. What was the first president to speak on? Who was
That's
the first
correct.
President to speak on radio?
Well, maybe radio. It was
who?
Harding.
Roosevelt?
No.
No, Harding?
No, it's before Harding.
Then it's Wilson.
That's right. That's right. Mm. Woodrow Wilson.
How that many? Must have been right in 1920 because yeah. that's when radio started, yeah. was 1920.
Who wrote The Mayor of Casteridge?
Thomas Hardy.
Hardy.
Yes. What poet committed suicide after writing The Bell Jar? I mean, I don't think it was cause and effect.
No, I don't think so.
Plath.
Sylvia Plath.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many innings constitute an official baseball game?
Four and a half.
Five.
Five.
Five, yeah. Four and a half is actually yeah. enough. But.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. What southern city is the setting of William Faulkner's yeah. The Sound and the Fury? What southern city?
It's that real long
it's
name in Mississippi.
It's Yachna-Patoffna yeah. County.
Right.
Yes, the answer I have is Mississippi. No, that's not a city.
Mississippi, Mississippi.
It's Yachna-Patoffna County.
County.
Yeah.
Right. Near the Okeechobee.
All of his books, I think.
Just about.
Well, maybe not all, but most of them take place there.
What were the names of the three Bronte sisters?
Emily
Charlotte.
And Charlotte.
Emily.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's the Emily
and
Charlotte. Lefty.
That's right.
And. Did she write? I don't know.
Yeah.
Ann.
Yeah. They all write.
They all did.
Yeah.
She took Badly. Dictation.
All of them.
Did Lefty write?
On the Mary Tyler Moore Show, what were the names of Mary's two neighbors, played by Valerie Harper and Cloris Leachman?
Emily
and
Charlotte.
Lefty and... No, it's not going to work.
They all become
Rhoda.
The subjects
Rhoda.
Of shows.
Rhoda was one.
Yeah.
And
what was the other? Who did the other?
Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
Did she get a show out of it,
oh,
too?
Yes, she did.
She certainly
with
did.
The same name?
Yeah.
Rhoda?
No.
Rhoda 2.
Rhoda 2. Rhoda in San Francisco.
Rhododendron.
Rhoda Tiller.
Rhoda Wave.
I don't remember.
We that. Should know
think
that.
Think of the name of the wife of the governor of Kentucky.
Elizabeth.
First name.
Phyllis.
Phyllis. Yes.
That was the show?
Yeah.
Schlafly?
Oh.
Phyllis.
Diller.
Who won not only fame, but an Emmy Award portraying Jamie Summers, better known as the Bionic Woman?
What?
Leslie Wagner.
That's close enough. Lindsay Wagner. Got an Emmy.
For what?
It's hard to play a bionic person.
Probably one of those categories, you know, best performance as a bionic woman in a continuing
in a car
series.
Going sideways on two wheels, yes.
No, during the month of October.
Yeah. Really? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was a popular movie, but who wrote the book?
Ken Kesey.
That's right. Who won Best Actor and Actress for the film?
Louise Fletcher.
And Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Mark Spitz at the 1972 Olympics won how many gold medals? That's right, seven. Which president signed the Constitution? There were two people who were to become presidents.
Well, Jefferson and Adams.
Nope.
Neither of them?
Neither of them.
The Constitution.
They didn't want their names on that document.
Oh, the Constitution.
Well, was Washington there?
Washington was one.
And then eighth?
Hamilton.
Monroe.
No. Begins with an M, though.
Madison.
Okay. Yes. Who won a Pulitzer Prize for the Kane Mutiny?
Woke. Whoever wrote it.
Yes. Who was that?
Herman Woke.
That's right.
Woke.
Very good.
A Woke.
Jessica Lange was the second actress to win Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress Oscar nominations in the same year. Who was the first to do so in 1942?
Betty Davis.
Nope.
In 42?
Jean Arthur.
Ida Lupino.
Nope.
For what was it? Well, let's figure what was the film in 42.
That's a good question. Bogart? She won it for the supporting
role. Lauren Bacall.
Oh.
Catherine Hepburn?
Is it someone that went on to have a long career?
Well, an intermittent career. And she just appeared, showed up in London this last summer acting in a play there. She hasn't been doing anything since the early 50s.
Deborah Carr?
No. It's an American actress.
Don't know.
Teresa Wright.
Hmm.
Yeah,
who
was one of those people
I've never
that
heard
was
of
always
that woman.
Around. But,
yeah.
Never a square.
Terry Wright.
How many floors are there in the Empire State Building?
Right. 102.
Yes.
Two.
That would be 102.
Wow. 102.
Very good. Who was the first black to pitch in Major League Baseball?
Page.
Satchel
yes,
Page.
That's right. In the film Frances, whose acclaimed portrayal of actress Frances Farmer won her an Oscar nomination?
Jessica Lange.
That's right.
I thought we just said that.
No, we just had Jessica Lange earlier.
Oh.
Now we have a question to which she is the answer.
Well, we're going to
have to. Would that be Jessica Lange?
That's the end of the question, the time for the day. We've got two more questions to finish up on our next program. And
we'll
do that in our next program.
Yes. Make a note of that.
So just hang in there, Mr. Berman. In the meantime, to thank the panel, Professor Pickering,
sure.
Professor O'Neill, Professor Nichols, Professor Gravel, Professor Klemanski, and now this word.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed with the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor was produced by Paul Murray, assisted by Roger Hino. Our technical director is Jim Muir, executive producer is Vivian Dix, and until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeWitt.
And I'm Michael Jason. We're back next week with another classic episode of Ask the Professor from October 1984.